Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and this is the weekly radio show about all things food, brought to you from Sonoma County. Not just wine country, but farm country and cooking country. We have some of the best cooks in America. Now, mind you, some people will say it's because we have great ingredients, and I don't argue, because when you take good ingredients and good cooking, you get lunch, hooray, and dinner, and weekend brunch, and all kinds of other things. Today, I have two of the best cooks around anywhere. Eliza Hinman, I've known for many years. She's the proprietor, the partner at Spinster Sisters, which is a wonderful restaurant in the Arts District of Santa Rosa. The Arts, it's what do we call it, the SOFA? What do we call that?
Yeah, SOFA, the south of A Street, Arts District.
And it's still thriving and wonderful, not just the restaurant, but your community, right,
yeah,
Liza?
Yeah, it's great. There's lots happening every day.
And Liza is the president of Les Dames d'Escoffier. We're going to talk about that in one second. And Donna Del Rey is the owner of Relish Culinary. She's running this auction. She's involved in slow food. She helps with the farmer's market in Healdsburg and a lot of other good things, too. Welcome, Donna.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
All right. So let's start, Liza, with, I mean, I will tell you that my experience with Les Dames d'Escoffier is from New York City and from the founder, Carol Brock, and her wonderful shock of red hair and her real determination to make sure that women didn't just have a seat at the table, but a seat in the kitchen, right? And a seat on the front lines.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the recognition of a lot of women who had spent their lives in the industry that women needed mentorship and opportunities, and that we also, as women in the industry, had an opportunity to raise money and give back to support others who are coming up and learning to find their feet in the industry.
Yeah, that was in the 80s, and it was when I moved to New York. And when I got to New York, the shock I had, because coming from California, from the Bay Area, from San Francisco, there were many women chefs very comfortably involved in all aspects of life and certainly of the restaurant and food world. And in New York, there were two. And neither one was in a really good mood most of the time because they just were not treated very well. In those days, and Liza, you have some background in this, in those days, women were allowed to write recipes for magazines. Right?
I was one of those recipe writers for a magazine. Yeah, that I think extended well into the 90s and 2000s. And you may even find it today.
And we'll talk about that too. But and you did it in someplace good.
Yeah, I had the chance to work at Gourmet Magazine in the food department for a little while. So right out of college as a young person. But it was an eye-opening experience for sure.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that too. But how do you describe Les Dames d'Escoffier today? I mean, because I'm lucky enough to get some of your announcements. I get invited to events. And there was something in San Francisco about Sunset Magazine celebration.
Yep.
And one of the things I love about it is, I mean, these are very successful business people and creators and all kinds of other good things. And it was like a potluck. If you want to bring a side dish from her. So tell us about the entire organization.
Sure. So this is an international organization that was founded in New York, but has chapters all over the world now. And we have founded a Sonoma chapter in the year 2000, right during the pandemic, when we all felt like, one, we had a minute to build it, and two, we needed that connection and that network and to stay connected with women in our field. So Les Dames members are all either in the fine beverage, culinary, or hospitality fields are the official areas. We also have women who are in ag. And that can be anything from a recipe writer, as you mentioned, a cookbook author, a chef, someone who does marketing or PR for these people, someone who is a sommelier or owns a winery. So it's really vast. You could work for a hotel. But our goal is both philanthropic and mentorship focused. And it's about networking with ourselves. It's about building relationships with people who are just getting into the industry, young women who are starting out and building businesses, or students in the culinary field or other areas. And we're also looking money to support our community and people who are so essential to the food systems here.
Yeah, we know what you're talking about, let me tell you. Let's go back a little bit. you say that they're all over the country and all over the world, but give us the specifics about the Northern California chapters, just so the people who are listening know.
Sure. So there is, there in the Bay Area, there are, the oldest chapter is the San Francisco chapter.
Yeah.
And that is a very large chapter and has a lot of really renowned women as members. There's also a chapter in Sacramento, and they've been hugely influential in food policy and a lot of the government areas, as well as the ag end of things. There's also a chapter in Monterey, and we are the newest chapter, and we are Les Dames Sonoma, but we actually encompass Marin, Sonoma, Napa, and Mendocino.
See, what I love is people used to say to me, don't you live north of San Francisco? And I always say, no, I live in the center, surrounded by Marin, Napa, Mendocino, and the Pacific Ocean. Just like Les Dames d'Escoffier, I'm adding to that right
now.
And how many members do you have in this area?
We have almost 60 members, and we're actually have our applications open for women who are interested in joining right now. And so we generally welcome a new cohort once a year, and they join our membership. And these are women who are doers, who are captains of their industry, who are out there to make a difference and have an impact. And it's really an amazing group to be involved with.
If you've just joined us, that's Liza Hinman. She's the chef proprietor, the co-partner.
Sure.
How many partners do you have?
Just myself and another. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's really wonderful. People, I like to say these things because people don't understand how this all works.
Sure.
And it's really, I mean, you are the face of the restaurant in many, many ways, but it takes a group, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It takes a team.
It takes a team, and you have a great team. All right, and joining us also, Donna Del Rey. Donna, talk about doers. I mean, you're just somebody who loves to get stuff done. So tell us a little bit about, actually, this wonderful event coming up. I want to repeat this a couple of times today because I here in the studio see on the studio table some very interesting things that could be a cookie jar or it could be an ancient crock pot. I see napkins from Paris. I see a little glass that looks like it was at a dinner for Chez Panisse at one point. I can tell by the not at all, I can't read the words that far, but by the style of it, I see something that looks like it was press and grind anyone. I mean anything. Donna, what's up with this wonderful event?
So these are just a few tiny samples of the types of wonderful items that are going to be available at our culinary rummage sale on Saturday, April 25th at the historic barn at Jimtown and then some.
Oh, yay.
So some of you might know it as the old Jimtown store, which is now owned and run by Michelle Wood, and she has created a really unique venue there, which has some of the, you know, classic deli sandwich things and also a wonderful array of dumplings and bao and different things from her style of cooking and her culture. And so the barn has also been a key part of Alexander Valley, was an antique shop for many years for those of us that are from that area. And we are so excited to do this in that barn, to just kind of pull all these things together, the history of this place and Les Dames and our culinary history and legacy and connections with this really, really amazing fundraiser for our chapter.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. And so you will take drop-offs? I mean, because I'm thinking to myself, gee, I shouldn't have gotten rid of all that stuff in storage in New York, but I probably have stuff here that really is not going to get used and would be so much better in someone else's kitchen. It is a funny kind of thing. If you don't have kids and you don't have nieces and nephews nearby, those things that you may have cooked with a lot when you were younger just don't get used as much. Every once in a while, I kind of touch them.
Yeah, you know, pet them. Sure.
So how can people contribute to this?
Yeah, so this is a big barn, and we would like to fill it with a lot of, like, treasure trove, as we say, of culinary items. So we have scheduled a drop-off date this Saturday between 9:30 and noon at the barn at Jimtown and then some. If people are open and want to, you know, take that drive and drop things off there, we will be there waiting and ready to take things
in. So April 4th until what time?
9:30 to noon.
All right, great.
And then we also have satellite drop-offs because we know not everybody can make it up there. So, you know, we'll maybe share some contact information if people want to drop things off in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma, or Napa. We have Les Dames in those regions who will take those drop-offs.
Is there a website that people can go to?
There is a website. It's Les Dames, SoCo. .com. I'm sorry, .org.
.org.
And if you go to the events page, there's information, and we will be adding that satellite drop-off information there hopefully this week.
Yeah.
But you can definitely contact us, you know, through that website, and we will reach back out to you.
Yeah, I think what you need to do is go and have dinner at Spencer's Distillery. It's a really good thing to do. And are you doing a weekend thing?
We're open Wednesday through Sunday.
Yeah.
Dinner only at the moment. There may be in the near future some additional services coming on board. But today, this week, dinner only.
Yeah.
But yes.
And by the way, I just want people to understand, this is something that has been normal in Europe and other parts of the world forever. All the times I've ever had the good fortune to travel in the world, many times restaurants are open 4 or 5 days in the evening, and that's it.
Yep.
There are other cafes that are open during the week, during the day, but they've been around longer than we, and sometimes America gets very confused and thinks that we have to have absolutely everything all the time and for free, and boy, does that not work. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk with Donna and with Liza a little bit more about some of the other things that the members of Les Dames de Scoffier do. And by the way, it's L-E-S, Dame, but it's plural. So it's a bunch of great dames, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The Scoffier. And we'll even talk about who Escoffier was, hoping that he behaved better than some other male chefs in history. We'll be right back here at the table. Welcome back to At the Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and that's a ukulele. And I like ukuleles. They go very well with culinary history. I'm talking to Liza Hidman. We're talking about the organization of which she is president. She's the president of the local chapter of Les Dames de Scoffier. And Donna Del Rio, who's also very involved in all these wonderful events, not to mention Relish Culinary Adventures. And what I like is that if you've known Donna's work historically, you may see this wonderful 1950s panel truck by the side of the road, and she's got all these people out gathering mushrooms. And it's the best experience of your lifetime. She does it mostly for companies and for organizations and for families. And it's so much better a bachelorette party to gather wild mushrooms than to get silly in a bar. Anyway, Liza, tell us a little bit about how you got involved with Les Dames de Scoffier and how you heard about it and what it's meant for you.
I think I originally heard about it both working in New York and being aware of women who were members there who were sort of culinary icons and heroes. And similarly, when I was coming up in my career, being aware of the San Francisco chapter, and they would only induct 4 or 5 women every year, and they would select women who just were, total heroes of mine. And it always struck me as an organization that was out there doing good work and supporting women in fields that are not easy to be a part of. And so when we had the opportunity and the insanity to go through the process of creating the local chapter, we are a 401c3, so going through the nonprofit process isn't easy.
No.
And getting everything up and established, we were lucky. I mean, we are just living in an area that is overwhelmingly filled with amazing women who do so much in these fields of culinary hospitality and fine dining.
I have to ask you, though, back to New York a little bit. Who were some of those icons that were very meaningful for you? I mean, you know, sometimes we have mentors that maybe we never even talked to, but they were the mentor. I mean, I certainly have people that I've thought of as benchmark in my life and in my work that I never met. What was it like for you?
I mean, I think it was looking at women who were, towards the later end of their careers and making a real effort to become mentors to younger women and stay connected with the fields. They could have retired and happily gone off to Italy and just, lived the rest of their lives, but they were working hard to pass along the skills that they had developed and create these mentorship opportunities and relationships.
You make me think of Marion Cunningham.
Yeah.
Because she wrote the Fannie Farmer cookbooks. This is a woman who got sober at 48 and started a career, right? And she went till 80, but between 80 and 90, she was in decline and private, but there was nobody she wouldn't talk to, right? Yep. There was nobody. Mm-hmm. MFK Fisher. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I'm involved in the MFK Fisher Foundation is because she was a known mentor to anyone who wanted to try and learn something, particularly women, but not only, right? And that's the thing about this whole effort. And Donna, for you, I mean, you how long you've been in this area? A long time.
In Sonoma County,
yeah.
20 plus, almost 30 years, actually.
Yeah,
gosh,
right.
Yeah.
I know, that was fast.
How'd that happen?
And where did, and you came from where?
San Francisco.
Yeah. And,
you know,
and
tech.
Yeah, all right. And but that's where a lot of the culinary icons who are women, who are still women, many of them are still very active. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Emily Lucchetti and Alice Waters, I mean, you know, and all these people. I mean, I met Ruth Reichel for the first time when she was working at the Swallow at Cal in Berkeley at this kind of veg-forward cafe, and met her again when I was running the Oakville Grocery in the very early 1980s. And this is a very striking person with, you know, she had the most black hair I've ever seen in my life. And I met her three times before I remembered her. And that's because she had that secret weapon that some people do. She was a restaurant critic for many years, as you know, both LA Times and New York Times. She could render herself invisible. I think, quite frankly, it's something that women learn how to do out of necessity to some degree and also out of habit. But, I mean, it actually, some of these skill sets that seem like they could be detrimental are actually potentially a gift depending on how you use them.
Sure.
All right. If you just joined us again, Donna Del Rio. I always call you Donna Del Rio.
I know.
I kind of like it. It's
my Hollywood name, but
I love,
not quite that. Yeah.
No, Donna Del Rio. Tell us about this auction in particular, and tell us about what you brought today.
So for it's a rummage sale. So this is definitely items that are mostly used, and I would say gently used, because we are definitely vetting and making sure that we're providing really good quality things for everyone to buy. We are seeing a lot of things. A lot of really amazing items from a ton of bakeware. So all of you bakers out there who,
yeah,
you know, are,
yeah,
looking to add to your collection, this is going to be a great way to do that. We have a ton of tabletopware, plates, glassware, barware, beautiful vintage things and really stylish things for setting a table, linens, etc. Tons and tons of cookware. In fact, we were agonizing over which items to bring, just from the things that are in the back of my car, beautiful Le Creuset.
So what's that?
Things. You know, it all varies. This is a beautiful vintage, kind of a mid-century, it's a casserole dish, or maybe like a soup tureen. It could kind of be a cookie bowl. It's kind of got multiple purposes, with beautiful persimmons on there. I mean, again, just one of these very cool mid-century items.
I think it looks earlier. I think to me, it's got a sense of 30s and 40s. You know, the marvelous Mrs. Maisel may have served something in that.
Mm. Right? Very true.
And Liza, do you have some things at home? Because one of the things we know is that people who cook and chef for a living, not always the same thing, depending on where you're standing in the kitchen. Sometimes they love to cook at home in certain ways, and sometimes no. Right? Are there some things that are going to come out of your kitchen?
I do have a few things that are on the do I need this, or do someone else, would they actually use this? Like, I have a beautiful copper double boiler that has an enamel insert.
Ooh.
That was passed down through my family, but it's been collecting dust for 20 years in my kitchen.
Yeah.
So things like that I look at and I'm like, maybe it's time for this to find a new home. And things like that, but also sort of more practical things. Like, I have an excessive amount of mixing bowls, and, you know, I think some of those could find a new home.
It makes me think of Marion Cunningham again, because as she was kind of descending into dementia, you know that people who have Alzheimer's sometimes pitch back and forth, they rock back and forth, right? Marion Cunningham held an imaginary bowl and a whisk. And she would sit for hours and whisk. Isn't that the most wonderful
zen
thing?
Isn't it?
It makes me so happy that's how she found comfort.
Sure.
I think it's quite wonderful.
Yeah.
And those of you who may have kind of graduated out of a period of your life when many, many different kinds of cocktails and many kind of cocktail glasses were maybe not as appropriate or important to your life, I have given away hand-blown Italian martini glasses. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I loved collecting those things. And there's a point at which I think it's time to... you know, have a glass of sparkling water, mm-hmm. right? And so those kinds of things could go on to the next person to be delighted totally. By that experience. What other kinds of events does this organization do?
LADOMS. Yeah. So this is one of our two major fundraisers for the year. So the rummage sale in the spring and on August 30th is our Birds and Bubbles fun Sunday afternoon gathering.
What is that?
That is, it's a fried chicken and sparkling champagne. Other sparkling things, too, Clark. It's held at Bacchus Landing.
Ah.
Kelly Comstock is our vice president, so
wonderful.
She brings us into the Bacchus Landing space. And that is an afternoon, wonderful meal and we have music and a silent auction, and it's just a really fun way. And the menu's done by Dom's different chefs who are members. So Tracy Shippos, Dusky Estes, myself, Domenica Catelli.
Oh my!
It's quite a lineup.
All right, and I just have to say, just a little pause before we break. All these brilliant chefs are making fried chicken. Makes me very happy. We'll be right back here at the table. Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and I'm talking to Liza Hinman. She is the president of Les Scoffiers. Well, I'm just going to call LDS. I don't know. No, that's something else entirely. Les Dames. And also the proprietor of Spencer's Sisters, which is a wonderful restaurant and has been there for a while now.
Yeah, it'll be 14 years this summer.
Boy.
Which is hard to believe. My son was a wee babe when we opened, and he's a freshman in high school now. How time flies.
I think I remember very vividly your coming to G&G Grocery to be on the air with me, and somebody was in your tummy.
Yeah, right? That was twins. Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
Ugh. Just a minute ago.
And I don't know if you ever visit, what the heck is her name? She's one of the sisters from G&G, and she now owns Nancy's Fancy, the bakery.
Oh, yeah. I always make pilgrimages to Nancy's Fancy.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. It's ridiculous. I love it so much. I was able to buy an entire bag of little tiny sugar-made unicorn sprinkles. I mean,
They've
got it all. All right. Donna, what are some of the other things that you guys do during the year? Obviously, you raise this money for purposes, and
exactly.
These mini grants, talk about these micro grants.
Yeah, exactly. So we just, on Sunday, just this week, had our wonderful gathering at Della Fattoria down in Petaluma, where we gave out 3 micro grants to young women who are like kind of in different phases of their careers and have different needs. So I know one of them is actually focused on doing cooking classes and doing education. And that was exciting to see from, my perspective owning Relish.
The second was she has a micro bakery here in Santa Rosa. She does sourdough.
Micro grant for micro bakery.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And she's a JC culinary student grad who has started her own business. And the third is actually a farmer. And she has a farm up on Sonoma Mountain, and she is going to be using the grant towards equipment and things that she needs for this coming season.
You know, these micro grants are so important. First of all, it is something that's used all throughout the world, and women are usually at the forefront of it. Not always, but usually, because a small amount and an industrious person can do a lot of wonderful things, right? It can have a great deal of meaning. I remember, I always go back to Michael LaMonaco, who was at Windows in the World and has had a number of different restaurants and is about to actually go into a restaurant because he gave up Porterhouse. He was at City College of New York and he got a $200 grant. A $200 grant. And he's had a 40-year career because somebody said, go ahead, I'm going to help you, right?
Yeah, right. It's that right impact. Amount at the right time that can make all the difference. Mm-hmm.
So how do you go about, Liza, how do you go about selecting these grants or the
recipients? Yeah, so we do an annual application period, and it starts in the late fall, early winter, and women can find the applications on our website. And then we have a committee within our membership that reviews all the applications, and then we select winners. And every year so far, this is our second year, and we were able to increase the value this past year, and we're hoping to raise enough money through our culinary rummage sale and our Birds and Bubble fundraiser to potentially offer additional micro grants this coming year.
Would you mind telling us approximately how much?
Yeah, so it's $1,500 for each winner.
That's
and
wonderful.
We gave out three this year, and our goal is to hopefully do up to four or five next year and just keep growing as the chapter grows and our fundraising abilities grow.
Yeah, you know, many years ago when the wonderful late farmer Nancy Scall died, Paula Downing, who is the manager of Farmers Markets, who I miss every single time I go to the farmers market, she's passed, we decided we'd do something. And so we raised a few hundred dollars, and we gave a couple of things away. I remember one was a fund or a gift or a grant so that somebody could do a concrete platform outside of their whatever it was, barn or work or building, so that they could process their chickens. And that's all it took, and they became viable as a farm. Mm-hmm. It's like that. It was $300 or some ridiculous thing that they, as farmers or cooks or chefs or humans, did not have. And it's more difficult today than it's probably ever been before.
Yeah. We had last year's winner, one of our winners, Lonnie Chan. She has a chili crisp company locally.
Yeah.
And she caught the micro grant opportunity when she was in the middle of a big rebrand because a larger peanut butter company had demanded that she give up her name and her branding. So
that wasn't the David Chang thing, was it?
No.
It was another
one.
People
yeah,
are so
exactly.
predatory when
yeah.
it comes to traditional foods
small,
from other cultures.
Exactly.
And they attack small people when, in fact, you know, where did that stuff come from? It came from somebody at a farmer's market or at a...
Exactly.
Right. Anyway.
And yeah, so she was able to use the grant money to go through a branding process and get all her new labels printed and, you know, website materials and all these things. And she was at our grant presentation. Her company is called Hey Ma now, and she is doing great. And I think you can see the direct results of what our money is able to do in entrepreneurs like that who, just needed a little boost at a right moment because she was about to give it all up.
Yeah, it's not just the money. The money is crucial. It's also the kind of faith and confidence that you get from other people who have been successful after lots of hard work and lots of changes. I know we all have been through that kind of stuff. And say, no, we did it. You can do it too. And we're going to help you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I will add that our grants are for non-members of La Dame. So we are really focusing on women who are up and coming their career and in their growth and in their education.
Oh, so it's people who are maybe a candidate to be in La Dame later on down the road, but aren't now.
Exactly.
So you're not just giving out money to yourselves.
To ourselves.
Or
nope.
To each
this
other.
This is, we are investing in the future.
Yes.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Where do these, and you find these people not just because they apply, but I'm guessing you guys all run around looking.
Yeah, definitely. We have networks that we're reaching out to and making sure that they are aware of this opportunity.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, and we just have about a minute and a half in this segment, you mentioned some other things you do throughout the year. These are the two big fundraiser events, but tell us a little bit about some of the other things you do.
Well, we try to create as many opportunities as we can for our members to get together and make connection because we have 60, what I call like superpower amazing women.
And busy.
And even having been a member now for 4 years, I know names because I see names on lists, but I don't necessarily know people. And then I get to know someone at one of these things and, oh my gosh, you're amazing. And how can we do things together and how can I help you?
Yep.
And so, we do spend a lot of our internal resources on how do we make better connections with each other and how do we support each other. together. So that might be a gathering of, you know, at the Sonoma Plaza for a picnic, or at one of our Dom businesses to just do a meetup. So that's we have in mentorship and in our membership organizations, we try to find those opportunities as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. All right. Listen, when we come back, I really actually want to know a little bit more about what it takes to become a member. And because I think people love to hear, they know what you're doing now, a hint of how you got there. But I think people want to know the story of how somebody becomes professional in the food world, other than on YouTube, although that's not bad, or on TikTok, although that apparently definitely is bad. We'll be right back here at the table. We are back at the table, and I'm talking with Les Dames d'Escoffier, not all of them, but two very special Les Dames, the president, Liza Hinman. You were talking about another event you do through the year, because you do a lot.
Yeah, well, Donna is actually one of the early facilitators of this, but our mentorship committee is women who really find this work rewarding, and we've been working on some culinary and wine career panels with both high schools and Sonoma State, where DOMs who have a wealth of knowledge to hand out to people are going and interacting with students to just give them a boost, to give them some advice, to help them on their path.
And people don't really even know how many different careers there are available. You know, again, when I was first starting out, I did a lot of that, where I was talking to people. I got to go to Paris a lot, to L'École, La Varenne, L'École de Cuisine. Do you know about that? It was Anne Willen, and she was doing this amazing cooking school. And I would go and spend time with this stage group. They were young people who couldn't afford to take the classes, but they were translators. So they spoke French and English. So the rich ladies from Texas or wherever they came from would be there, and they'd be in class. And they basically got to have the classes too. And I would come there and give them little talks about other things you could do as opposed to just being a chef or a recipe tester. And we would take them around the Place de Madeleine and going to cheese shops and going to, you know, and I would explain to them what was going on and why that was like that, because those people never interacted. Do you know what I mean? You know, I remember one year we took them to Fauchon, a very famous fine grocery store. And I said, where's the fromage? where's the cheese? And they said, oh, monsieur, this is Fauchon, as in, we don't do that here. 2 years later, there was a big cheese department. I think she was gone. But the point is that there are so many things that go on and they change so much, right? What have you seen change in the years since you've been doing this just in Sonoma County that, do you think that there are more people involved, more interested, more knowledgeable, or fewer? What's going on?
I mean, I think it's been up and down the past decade, but I definitely feel like I've seen a lot more small family farms and independent farmers finding ways to access land here, which is really exciting. I think that the cottage license has opened up this huge opportunity for people.
Explain.
People are able to get licenses to create food out of their home, so they don't have to have access to a commercial kitchen. So they're able, if they love to bake bread, they can bake bread there and sell it and do it legally. They can make jam, they can make beverages. It's giving people a lot more opportunity with a lot less resources.
And they can earn up to $100,000. I mean, it's not like you can only do, they started at $35,000 and 20 minutes later, that wasn't enough to get across the street, right? So, I mean, you can't do meat and you can't do dairy, but you can sell. You can self-certify through the government program, right? And do that.
Yeah. And from another perspective, one of the things through our career panels, we've gone into, for example, Healdsburg High School with a whole range of Les Dames members representing so many different pathways for getting to where they are today and representing so many different careers within this culinary, fine beverage, hospitality world. And what I'm now hearing from some of these students is this, like they are all into environmental and into you know, ecological things. And I love this. This is the first time I'm hearing this.
Well, so let's ask about that, because, you know, one of the things that I heard as you were describing the people that have gotten the grants before is it was almost a surprise that there was ag, because really Le Dom comes from cookery, right? Mm-hmm. It comes from cookbook authors, the strength of all of that,
chefs.
Right? And chefs. and to add the ag and sustainability to it is a big deal.
Right. And so I know other chapters have a green table program where they've had to kind of put this into their chapter. In Sonoma County, it's kind of born here. It's kind of already
inherent.
Here.
Inherent,
all of our members have
everything
these connections.
We interact with.
Right. All of our, so many of our businesses with the sourcing and who their clients are and the farms. And so, but it's such a refreshing thing to see a younger generation. Maybe they're in ag classes, maybe they're in culinary classes, but they're starting to really have a sense of activism around this and wanting to know what's out there. And so I love, you know,
this is very important. And Liza, I'm going to ask you, so then there's another aspect to this that I don't want to spend too much time, but I mean, do you ever as a group discuss issues and systems? I mean, because with what's going on out of Washington now, where there are people saying, get artificial colors out of your cereal, which maybe you shouldn't be eating anyway, but have a beef tallow smoothie for lunch. I mean, do you discuss those kinds of things in any context? Do you have panels?
Yeah, definitely. And Les Dames International as an organization, they have some online events that both the public and members can go to, and you can find that through Les Dames International's website, and they have experts who are presenting on all these different topics. They do a monthly conversation and hit on a lot of these things.
I think that's kind of wonderful, because then you can get a wonderful perspective from many different places.
Yes.
And sometimes the people, we used to think that a lot of the things came from restaurants, you know, ideas and whatnot, but boy, today it comes from everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. It comes from somebody in the backyard deciding that they read something about gleaning, and they help the people in Healdsburg, you know, get all the persimmons that are left over and bring them to a food bank. I mean, we have a real sense of community here, and what you do is so wonderful and so helpful to that. When we come back, we'll just have a few minutes, and we want you to remind us all about this extraordinary auction. Everybody needs to go into their cupboards and find something they don't really need anymore, because Mom never told them how to use it. We'll be right back here at the table. We're back at the table. I'm Clark Wolf, and I'm talking to Liza Hinman and to Donna Del Rey, and we're talking about Les Dames Escoffier. It's not an auction. It's a rummage sale. Donna, give us the details.
So, Saturday, April 25th, at the historic barn at Jimtown and then some on Highway 128, just north of Healdsburg. We're going to be open to the public from 10 to 3, and we want a big crowd because we have a big barn full of amazing, amazing items, pretty much anything you could imagine, culinary that you can hand carry out. Yeah. That's how I describe it,
oh,
right?
Oh, that's a good idea. If it's too big to hand carry, that's another
I mean, it might
event.
Be heavy. It might still be heavy, but like we don't have like ovens, right? But we have waffle makers and a Ninja Creamy, which I've never even heard of till the wine got donated this week. And, you know, all kinds of things down to beautiful sterling silver demi-tasse spoons.
And if you want to donate towards this, there will you go to the website, which is?
Les Dames Soco, which I will spell LesDamesSoco.org. And if you go to the events page, it has information about the site. If you would like to just donate to our wonderful nonprofit organization in support of women in the culinary, fine beverage, and hospitality industries, there are opportunities to do that on the website too. And if you want to donate things to the rummage sale, we do have a drop-off right around the time this will be airing.
Right.
So we also have one Monday, April 9th from 4 to 7 p.m. at the barn at Jimtown and then some.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And we have satellite locations around the county and in Napa.
And if you come over the hill from Healdsburg into the Alexander Valley and don't gasp at the beauty, then something's wrong, right? I mean, Carrie Brown lived at Jimtown and ran it for many, many years. She's now in Sebastopol, but she would say, you come over that little rise.
I gasp. I live out there.
Yes. Oh, you do?
I gasp every day. I'm right down the street from Jimtown. I'm very lucky.
You are very lucky. You're very lucky. I live in a cabin in the woods, as you probably know.
Which is also lucky.
Which is very lucky. And I used to say that I'm surrounded by redwood trees that could kill me at any moment. And then after the last storm, where a redwood tree was exploded by lightning, I say that I'm surrounded by redwood trees that would take a hit for me. Right?
Perfect.
I mean, that means the point is that we live in nature, don't we?
We do.
We do. And it's
the most beautiful place.
How long have you been in the Alexander Valley?
Well, I live on my father-in-law's property. He's been there since the early 70s.
Wow.
So it's, it's pretty great to be out there. A lot of history in the Alexander Valley.
And I hope that sometimes you're at farmers markets. Are you guys ever with a table at the farmers market in Healdsburg in the new pavilion?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so that's another way that you can visit these people and support Les Dames and get to know what's going on in the world of food, because without it, we're in trouble. I mean, the point is that what we have here is precious, and by example, we have to we have to share it. We have to be thoughtful about it. We have to give it value. We have to understand that it may cost a couple of pennies, and it's the healthiest thing you can possibly do. Thank you for all you do. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so
Clark.
Much, Clark. It's great to see you.
We will be here next time at the table.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? You'd be paradise. Put up a fucking lie.